Blog Talk Radio. Well, here we are at Social Geek Radio Night, and it's not Thursday. It's Wednesday. So it's a brand new season, AK, and we're ready, and I'm looking at our loyal listeners that are joining us in the chat, and they got it. They got the message that it's Wednesday and not Thursday.
Yep, yep. We're not going to compete with the primetime TV. We don't want people to have to choose us over their favorite shows. So
yeah, we're only going to compete with NFL starting tonight, I guess. It's like this official opening or what?
Yeah, they tricked us. They switched nights because they heard we switched nights.
Wow. Well, I'm told that this... It's only going to be tonight, right? No more football on Wednesday night?
Not that I know of.
I don't know.
It's going to eventually just take over.
I'm not a football fan. I know you are. You're such a big fan, and I respect that, but I haven't a clue who plays what teams are where. So maybe we can draw all those football widows.
Yeah.
Or I'm sure there's a lot of guys that are married to their wives or their spouses or their partners or whatever, or watch football, and they need to come to Social Geek Radio. So that's what we'll do.
Okay. Yeah, we'll have to start tweeting. We'll use the NFL hashtag or the hashtag of whatever teams are playing and the Social Geek Radio hashtag, and people will be like, what's the show? I should check it out, because that fits right in with our topic for tonight.
Okay, hashtags, yes. So... but let's, you know what? I want to do one quick recap from last week. You shared one and Geek It Out. One of your sites was the Charity Miles,
mm-hmm.
and I know you've been using it, and I've been testing it out. It is, I think, one of the best sites that you've shared in a while because it's a charity,
right?
And it's so easy to use, and it's Android and iPhones.
Exactly, which is the reason that I shared it, because it doesn't discriminate.
It doesn't.
except for BlackBerry. Sorry, Dana, wherever you are.
Oh, yeah, I keep thinking of BlackBerry. Oh, well.
Whatever. Yeah. Who uses those anymore? Whatever.
And those people that use BlackBerries probably don't exercise or walk. But, and I was telling you, just kidding, really. I would take that out if I could. What I discovered about the app, which you know that I'll use a treadmill because, okay, now here in Houston, we that exercise outside normally come inside during the summer. You in the Northeast, you go outside. And then we flip. In the winter, you'll come inside because it's too cold, and we have beautiful weather, and we go back outside. So I used the treadmill, and I thought, oh, let me try this app. This is really cool. It will clock my walking. Well, as you may have seen on my Facebook page, my daughter busted me because you use the app, and it sort of kind of clocks what you're doing, but it's based on GPS. So
right.
I didn't go anywhere. I just walked. I walked for 40 minutes, and I walked hard. And I had an incline, and I did all of this. And I didn't pay attention to when I finished. I just said, oh, okay, I'm done. I'm finished. Post my results to Facebook. And, you know, I've walked for this charity, blah, blah, blah. And my daughter looks at it, and she, of course, then busts me on Facebook and says, really, Mom? You walked 0.0014 miles. What did that take you? All of 30 seconds? Like, oh no. So anybody that downloads the Charity Miles app has to realize
you have to move forward.
Have to move. It's GPS located. And then you can pull up a Google map and say where you went and everything. So then today I went on my bike, and I actually did it, you know, because you can do biking or walking or jogging. And I love that you choose your different charities that you want to donate to.
Yeah, yeah, you get, I think, different money amounts if you're biking versus, like, walking or something. I did read about, although I haven't explored it yet, that there was a way that if you just wanted to keep track of mileage, let's say when you're on the treadmill, I think you can manually enter mileage somewhere. However, that won't count towards the charity miles, because I guess I don't want you to, you know, cheat that way. But just for logging for your own personal knowledge, you could track it with another pedometer and just keep track of it that way.
Right. And it won't count to your charity unless you publicize.
Yes. Yes. Very,
so you have to
care-centered.
Right. You have to put it on Facebook or Twitter. Now, I'm having an issue with the app, and I'm going to have to figure this out or actually call Charity Miles, and maybe we can even have them on the show. For some reason, it will not connect to my Twitter account.
Oh.
Every time I try, it tells me cannot connect to Twitter. So I'm thinking about maybe taking the app off and then reinstalling it, and maybe then it'll work. Thank you, because I've shared that numerous times, because I know so many people that exercise on a daily basis, walking or jogging or biking, and I know they have their smartphones because they're constantly posting pictures from their run.
I don't know how long Charity Miles has been around, but last year when I was training for that 60-mile walk and I was walking like 15-mile training walks every weekend, that would have been awesome.
Yeah, it's really new. I think they're less than 5 or 6 months old.
Okay, now I don't feel so bad.
Yeah. So, again, I just wanted to do a recap. If anybody missed that app, that is just a really, really good app. And they have a Facebook page, and there's a long information on it, Mashable. So thank you. I really like that.
Well, and speaking of sites that we talked about last week, one that, see, I'm notorious for mentioning these sites and then not really using them again a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So the site that I did last week, the scrollkit.com, we should mention that today I created a page on how to participate in Social Geek Radio for people to use as a reference. So I did that through scrollkit.com so I could do just a real quick document but have a shareable URL for it. So, listeners, you obviously know how to listen if you're hearing me say this right now. But if you would like to share with your colleagues and your friends to get them interested in the show, that's http://bit.ly/howtosgr. Very simple step-by-step on how to get into the show, call into the show if you want to, and participate in the chat.
Good thing. Yeah, and that scroll kit, that is really cool because it gives you a URL for that picture page that you want to do. Of course, you showed it last week, and I immediately went the next day and said, oh, I think I'll do one of these for Cindy Perkins, who's, you know, gone to Paris. And it's really fun. It's really easy to use. And then you've got that URL, and you post it to Facebook or tweet it. Or very cool.
Yeah, you can do a birthday card for somebody. Anything.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I didn't think about that. See?
Yeah, I actually think they even have a birthday template as one of their sort of stock templates that you could do that has a fun confetti background or something.
Oh, I'll have to check it out. I didn't see that. I love YouTube. A good thing. I love to go to YouTube and find fun YouTube videos for birthdays.
Yeah.
And post them. So.
Yeah, I try to do something usually more special, depending on how much I like the person, but I tend to do something more special than the typical happy birthday. And if your birthday is the past couple of days and all you got from me was happy birthday, it's not because I don't like you, it's just because I was a little busy. Anywho, try to do something a little bit different to stand out amongst the other happy birthday Facebook wall messages.
And then, you know what, that's it exactly. It's all about us.
Yes. And
we
want
to stand out. That's right. It's
I mean,
all about being...
We're like marketers and branders, and that's what we do. So it's in our nature. It's not a fault. It's our strength.
It's our strength, and people follow us.
Right.
Okay. So now tonight, since we got a little sidetracked here, but that's fine. It's just us. We can do whatever we want for the next 50 minutes.
You guys are stuck with us. Sorry. Dem and AK show.
So let's talk about the use of hashtags, and specifically – I would love to hear from beginning to end how you got involved with that whole Baltimore Grand Prix event.
Well, I was on Twitter about 3 weeks ago, shockingly enough, maybe even less than that, and I got a tweet from Andretti Sports Marketing Twitter account, Andretti SM, and they said that Amy Phillips, and they used her Twitter handle, had recommended me to join the team, and how could they contact me? And I hadn't a clue in the world what they were talking about, whose team, what we were doing, but I tweeted them back my email address, and the girl Tanya, who we might get calling in tonight if she's feeling better, Tanya sent me an email and said, this is a deal, the Andretti Sports Marketing segment of Andretti Sports is sort of spearheading or a huge part of the event promotion for the Baltimore Grand Prix, and they were putting together a team of local social media influencers, I guess they were calling us, to tweet about and post about and Instagram about events leading up to the Grand Prix, trying to sell tickets for the Grand Prix, but also sort of trying to educate people about IndyCar and some of the racers. So I don't know how Tanya initially found this Amy Phillips, who recommended me. I got the feeling that it was sort of, she found somebody. I know Amy's really big in the Baltimore Social Media Club, so she may have just gone there and found her, and then Amy looked to her for some advice on how to add people. But there was about 21 of us, I believe, all together, and each day, Tanya would send us an email with a whole bunch of information on all the events. She would send us sort of a suggested tweet, but encouraged us to sort of read the information, so customize it using our own personality so that we aren't all tweeting the exact same thing. But we were really all gathered around two particular hashtags. So we used the official GPOB hashtag for Grand Prix of Baltimore, and then everybody on the social GP team, as they were calling us, used the hashtag social GP. So there was a press release that went out with all of our Twitter handles, and people knew if they wanted to sort of hear what we were doing, and, you know, they knew that we would sort of have the information about what events to look for, that they could follow that hashtag as well. So that's kind of how it started, and I got some access to sort of some private events to educate us more about the IndyCar. I got to do a movie screening during the event. We got to do a whole bunch of cool tours in the production trucks and see all of the on-car video, and we got to have breakfast in what they're calling the Andretti Club, which was sort of the place to be, a higher ticket cost during the show, and then a garage tour, and of course we got free tickets and access to the garage and the area where all the cars and drivers were. So I spent all day, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, tweeting my fingers off.
I watched the pictures were fabulous, and then, you know, I did a search because I used the hashtag, and I did a search and watched everybody else tweet as well and their pictures. But I'm curious, so the initial invitation came through Twitter.
Yep.
You know, somebody had recommended you. Were there rules and regulations set out? Because there's only 22, 21 of you, but they couldn't just let you go wild. They were giving you passes to get in behind the scenes and everything. What were the expectations of you as the street team and guidelines that you had to follow?
You know, it wasn't particularly strict at all. They sort of just wanted us to have fun with it and, again, really insert our own personalities into it. So there will be a couple of events here and there leading up to it that they would say, okay, we think this is coming or we think this is going to happen like this, but please don't tweet it until, you know, we get the official go-ahead. You know, like a week before the Grand Prix, Living Social Deal came out for cheaper tickets. We're all wondering, should we promote that, or, you know, is that affiliated with a different aspect of the marketing? We didn't want to, like, skew any marketing results or anything. So for the first day, they did ask us to hold off on that so they could see how that would do independent of us pushing it. And then the next day, we were able to promote it. So that was really, from what I remember, the only sort of restriction that they actually gave us. I mean, I guess they looked into our backgrounds and figured mm-hmm. one of us couldn't do too much damage in 140 characters. I think it went without saying that we weren't supposed to go on and bash the Grand Prix, and if we had
right.
something negative, we might just keep it to ourselves. But they never actually, you know, came out and said that to us.
Well, and I'm going to assume that they did very strict due diligence on their part to make sure that, okay, that we're going to pick a group and have a team that actually use these social platforms, that actually
right.
use Twitter and Instagram. And this is the first time, I think, that I've seen Instagram used so heavily and with a hashtag, and that you could follow along, which was perfect. I mean,
yeah.
what better location or event to have so
right.
many of those pictures? I mean, those cars were just phenomenal.
Oh, yeah, I saw some really cool things. But just like you were saying, I mean, the event itself really lent itself to the pictures, you know, where you
mm-hmm.
have a regular seminar or a conference. You know, just taking pictures of speakers on stage is not necessarily as interesting as, you know, $1 million Indy car.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's just the nature of it was really favorable to the images. And I think that really helped build the excitement and tell the story. This morning I spoke at a seminar, and the topic was the visual web and how images are sort of really taking over to tell that story. And I think that played a huge part in what we feel like was a success of our promotion of that, just because of, you know, how many pictures we were able to take. And some people were even doing, you know, little video clips of the cars going by, you know, just to build the excitement and not reading words and words and words just about the event.
Hmm. I like that. I mean, I'm going to quote you here in a tweet, but, you know, telling your story via the visual web. It was great. I mean, that whole entire weekend, as much as I would have loved to have been there, I really got a good visual of what was going on from people in the grandstands, from the winners, from the cars, from it was just, you know, and the ages of the audience. You know, they were the spectators. They were from the very young to the very old to it's just. Very good. One thing I didn't think I saw much of was the food. I'm all about food.
Yeah, it was pretty expensive to get food from the vendors, and it was sort of your typical like state fair type food.
Mm-hmm.
We tended to eat. There was a restaurant, one of our favorite restaurants, that was right next to where our particular grandstand was. So we ate there a couple of times, which was actually cheaper than the food they were selling out at the vendors. I shouldn't say that because we have to support our vendors.
Right.
But, you know, there wasn't really anything crazy out of the ordinary food-wise. It was sort of a lot of food that I shouldn't have been consuming, but I did anyway that I wasn't willing to visually document. but, yeah.
Let's say we've got someone in our audience that's going to establish an event.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we give them some key pointers about the event and the use of hashtags? You know, should their hashtags be super long, super short? You know, what are some of the key things that you would suggest when?
I think the shorter the hashtag, the better. And if it can make sense, like for the Grand Prix of Baltimore GPOB, you know, once you sort of knew what it was talking about, it made sense. So if you can make it sort of an acronym for the name of a company or for what the seminar is about, the really, 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 really important thing to do is make sure that nobody else is using it already.
Mm.
The group who I spoke for today, Marilyn, or Marketing Director Support Group, so MDSG, and everybody was trying to figure out which hashtag to use to tweet during the meeting. And they were like, well, we're actually thinking about switching the hashtag from MDSG because apparently that's also used for some sort of progressive rap group or something.
Mm.
So they were running into that. So that's the biggest thing. The shorter, the better. That way you have more characters for your tweet. Your hashtag isn't taking up the entire tweet. But definitely, you know, and not just use Twitter. You can put a hashtag in Twitter search, but Twitter search really only goes back so far. So you don't necessarily know if maybe a company uses a hashtag for their annual conference each year. And maybe they haven't used it for 6 months, but it's going to crop up again or whatever the case may be. So I like to use Topsy, TOPSY.com. And you can search through hashtags on both Twitter and Google+, actually. And you can sort of do a week back, you can do a month back, you can do a year back, or you can select all time. So you can see if that hashtag has ever been used and in what context. But so that's good to do. And if you can include a year, I know a lot of people will do, you know, MDSG12 for 2012.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times you'll see that for, you know, the same for a conference that happens year after year. It'll just keep changing the year. But I think that's, you know, really important. Something that's super memorable and not easily misspelled. I spoke at another conference, you know, a couple months ago, and there was real big confusion about how the hashtag was spelled. And even the people within the organization that were tweeting under their Twitter handle were spelling it incorrectly than from what the original person had
said. Yeah.
It was a huge mess. So simple, 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 and make sure no one else is already using it.
Well, then, so I would suggest for the event coordinator, in the marketing of the event itself, is go ahead and market and be sure that everybody is clear on what hashtag you're going to use. Because I know in the franchising world, when we started using hashtags, it started because all of us that were on Twitter started using what we wanted to do, IFA 2010, whatever it was, and then people were changing it around because at the time there wasn't any real guidelines of what hashtag to use. So I think today, with any event that you're scheduling, you need to think about that. Now, what about Instagram? Since I've used Instagram, but I've not used it for an event, how do you go about searching for within Instagram? I mean,
well, I don't know for iPhone. I have come to realize that the Instagram app for iPhone is very different than the Instagram app that we've been given for Android. In that you have iPhone users have much better filters, so your pictures look way cooler, and it's not my fault. It's just the app. So, but I don't know about the actual usage of it. I know for on my Android version, if I go to the Explore section, there's two separate tabs. I have at the top to toggle between searching for users and toggle between, it just says tags. So if I go to tags, I can just enter in a hashtag and I can search through. So that's what I was doing to follow along with the GPOB Instagram hashtags. So, and people, that's getting really big too, especially I participated in, it was an Instagram photo contest to win, you won't guess, some wine. And so I took a picture and I had to use the hashtag Social Hope, and I tagged my picture with Social Hope, and then I was able to go and search Social Hope on Instagram to see all the other entries as well.
Well, let me ask you this. So, and I can search on, I do have the iPhone app, and I know how to search it. But let's say there's somebody that is not an Instagram user. Do you know, can you go to an Instagram website and search for pictures, or do you have to search within the app itself?
I believe if you go to Statigram, StatiGram.com, I think without creating an account, which would essentially be hooking it up to an Instagram account, there's a search bar at the top.
So yeah, there is. I'm on there now, and I'd forgotten about this.
Well, I just typed in a search, and it did not give me any results when I hit submit.
Oh.
So I don't know. What you're seeing a lot of times is, I feel like typically if somebody's sharing their image on Instagram, and especially if they're hashtagging it, they're doing it because they want it to be found, they're also automatically sending it to Twitter a lot of times.
Right.
So, yes, you're not going to be able to separate out the images from the plain text tweets on Twitter, but you can view them that way since you can open up the image right on Twitter.
Well, and I'm on Instagram, and I just searched for social hope, and I'm looking at lots and lots of pictures. Without logging in?
Oh, cool.
Yep. So that's good
there
to know.
You go.
Because, yeah, so that's a good way of checking those pictures, because they're just, like I said, phenomenal pictures. So, all right, learn something new right here on the air.
That's what we're all about here.
Trial and error.
Yeah.
Well,
live trial and error. Listen to Social Geek Radio.
I was trying to think there. I had a question for you about hashtags, and it's disappeared.
Well, you did ask a question that I didn't really get to answer, which was about advertising the hashtag and making sure that people know about it. I think that isn't as popular of a practice as it should be, although I'm sure we're getting there because the use of the hashtag is getting more abundant. But, I mean, yes, anywhere if you have any type of advertisement, make sure you put it in, whether it's print or digital or sending out reminders, just put it out everywhere. And on signage at the actual conference or seminar is really huge. I mean, have a huge hashtag sign. Put it on the front of the bags for the conference, because that's really going to build up the conversation and get people interested, whether it was a conference this year that somebody couldn't attend, or maybe they saw a tweet and they're wishing that they had seen it and maybe they'll attend next year. It's just the best way to build buzz online, because you have so many people talking about the same thing. And at the seminar that I was at today, the company that hosted it, they do a whole bunch of sort of enterprise level, Fortune 500 level companies, events and things like that for web development and social media. And they showed us, the topic was infographics for our visual web talk, but they were showing us an actual graphic of the use of a hashtag around an event. And they were using colors to sort of show how much, obviously, the tweeting increased during the time of the conference. But then you could actually see, what came of it. You know, other people other than the attendees started talking about it. And, it's when we had Fran Camp, and we had people who weren't even at Fran Camp who were using the Fran Camp hashtag, and you didn't even know that they weren't there.
Right.
I feel like to have an event or a conference now and to not be using a hashtag is a big loss.
And I don't know that I've actually seen the hashtags of the events on the promotional bags that you receive. I've seen barcodes. I mean, you'll see barcodes everywhere. You'll see it on the banners. But I don't know. I'm going to have to pay close attention now to see if I've seen the promotion of the hashtag itself on the pre-marketing materials, yes, but on the event materials. That's a very good tip.
I saw something on Pinterest the other day that I thought was kind of cool. It's a sort of a sidebar, not really marketing related, but it was actually for somebody's wedding. They had like a chalkboard outside the chapel or outside the reception that said, "If you'll be Instagramming, please use hashtag." And it was like, Mark and Jane, and their names as a hashtag. I thought that was kind of a cool idea.
I was just thinking. I'm looking at our koozies. And we have a hashtag on it. We have the Geek It Out.
Yep.
Hashtag. So, and a barcode.
Yeah.
We're pretty geeky.
Yeah. We knew that though.
We did. We did know that. Great.
Well, tell us about your street team. Are you using a hashtag for that?
Yes. And I'm really going to start working on that starting tomorrow. So our friend Sarah Robinson, and I think Sarah was on the street team with you when you did Seth Godin's Poke the Box, right?
I believe you are correct, yes.
I think she was. Yes, because we wanted to have her as a guest, and we never got her, but she wants to come on Social Geek Radio. So she has just written a book, Fierce Loyalty, and it officially comes out on the 18th, and she decided she wanted a street team to help promote the book, She sent a few emails out to some folks that she knew she wanted on the team, and then she did post it on Facebook and on Twitter saying that she was selecting. And it seems to be that random or that very exclusive 22, because she has, I think she has 22 members. Must be a very workable team.
Yeah, manageable.
Yeah, very manageable. So I received the email, and all she asked was to fill out a little survey and, you know, what platforms do you use? What's your Twitter handle? So I'm sure she was doing her due diligence. And I was selected with 21 others. So now, and we did receive a few suggestions, you know, being part of the street team, which she hopes that we will do is help promote the book, the launch of the book, the title, different fun facts about it. She's given us some information that will help us for blogging. Some information, she's given us some sample tweets, which has been great. She has a Facebook page, so anybody can go to the Facebook page, Fierce Loyalty, which is great, and like it. So, and get some. She'll be giving a chapter away, so you can actually get a little bit of the book itself. But it's fun. I like the idea of being part of this group to help promote and help somebody else. And I'm dying to read the whole book. I mean, I should be getting it here soon. But it really looks – I like Sarah. I have followed Sarah for a long time on Twitter and her blog. I actually got to meet her very briefly years ago in Chicago at that epic tweet-up that we had, and been following her ever since. But it what a great idea for marketing today to grab that social online marketing team to help you – spread the word.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can't beat it cost-wise, that's for sure.
Yeah, and there's no payment involved, so she's not paying anybody to, and not telling you really, you know, what to say. It is your own opinion. It is, you know, what you want to share and promote, but she does give us some samples, which is great, to help us get it started. And you do it for the passion of it. Like, you didn't get paid, and you spent an entire weekend in Baltimore, but look how much fun you had.
Right. It was awesome, yeah. It was my first race and hopefully not my last. I think they're definitely going to do it again next year, and I've already said, put me in, coach, I'm ready to do it again. So.
Yeah.
Well, so are you going to do a street team for your book?
Probably not.
I mean, I would be on your street team, Deb.
Well, thank you. And you know, I thought about that. And when we're thinking about street teams and events and the purpose of having a street team, my book is so exclusive to franchising and a franchisee and franchisor relations building. I just don't know if it would be appropriate to have a street team to help build that. I'm not sure yet. I just thought I really have to consider that. I think it's a really unique audience that I'm working with. So we'll have to see.
Maybe we could get BJ to do a street team.
BJ should have a street team. In fact, in my hot little hands is BJ Emerson's and Jim Amos's book. I was so lucky to get this in advance, and I need to really dig into it, which I plan to do this weekend. I started reading it. It's awesome, and I'm only into the first couple chapters. But I'm surprised he did not put a street team together for that. I don't know that he needs it. I mean, it's got so much – it's been promoted so heavily already, but it's going to be, I think, a really good seller, because it's not just on social media. It's really on building that loyalty and the customers. – So it is a social media book, but they moved it away from just social media into customer loyalty and building that brand and brand ambassadors and customer engagement. So it's more than just the social part of it, which is going to be pretty darn good.
And you're quoted in this book, if I recall correctly.
I am. I have a few pages, actually on page 54. I think it's page 54. The social savvy grandmother. I would have preferred grandma or Gigi, but that's okay. I mean, I'm okay with it. Now, you'll get a kick out of this. In the chapter, Going Beyond the Brand, The title of one section of the book is called Old Dogs, New Tricks. And that's where he opens up talking about the social savvy grandma. So,
aww.
Don't be offended. I'm not an old dog. But
not at all.
Keep looking at this and saying, old dogs, new tricks. We asked some seasoned professionals for the question, what is more challenging, teaching a young digital native in good business acumen or teaching an older person online social skills? And we asked the social savvy grandmother, Deb Evans. Okay.
Oh,
but it's kind of funny. I really am laughing. I think it's cute.
I still think that should be your new brand. Like, I can see one of those cool a caricature thing. And like I can see the heading for the blogs right now. I think that'd be cool.
Were you eavesdropping on my conversation earlier? I actually have I have a sketch artist that did some sketches for me for my book on developing peak performing franchisees, and I contacted Mark today, Mark Weber. He's out of North Carolina, great guy, and I said, all right, I want to write a review for this Tasty Delight Way book, and I've been quoted as the social savvy grandmother, and I really need a fun sketch. I don't want to look like an old lady. I've asked him to do a sketch for me, and remember our friend Bonnie Sharon, the Gadgetista, and her sketch,
yeah.
And then Michelle Price, Prosperity Gal, has her own sketch. Lisa Johnson has one. So Mark is going to do one for me. We'll see how it turns out. But so here's, I could use some help. I'm going to have a sketch that hopefully resembles me, social savvy grandma, with an iPad or, you know, whatever. We'll see how that works out. But yes. So
cool.
We got away from hashtags, but I guess it applied to street teams.
Yeah, maybe we need one for the two of us for our new super secret website that we're going to have eventually. Then that's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay, I'll talk to Mark.
Yeah, I'm thinking, like, remember that that picture that I did up with us as Thelma and Louise? It could be something like that.
I'll have to pull that one back up. Okay.
Anyway, so... What are we talking about?
Street teams and hashtags and the proper
them.
And let's see how much time. Okay, so we still have a little bit before we have to go into to geek it out. I don't see that we have any questions in the chat, but I'm trying to think any other clues that we can give to folks. Where else? And I'm just brainstorming here. Street teams, we see that they're used for books. And they're used for events, to help promote events. I'm not sure
I feel like you could do a street team for a lot of things. I mean, anything that really needs promotion or just some sort of kickstart to build brands. And I think the difficult part about it is selecting the people, you know, how you do it. I know there's some, you know, advanced tools, like if you use a Radian 6 or something like that to really plug in keywords and get key influencers around certain topics, which would be a little bit more advanced than clout, let's say. But I've heard a lot of people saying that, you know, they just look on clout to see who has clout to, you know, kind of handpick people. You know, so I think the initial part is just selecting your team. And it might be sort of just watching people for a while and seeing their behavior and seeing their tweets, and that's your due diligence to put together a really solid team.
Well, and you have to be aligned with those folks and the things that they tweet. I mean, I follow some folks that tweet some sometimes really outrageous things, and you've got to be aligned to that person. So I would think anybody that's putting together that street team really has to do a strong due diligence of selection.
Right. Yeah, and a lot of monitoring, too, then afterwards. Because I know for our, you know, Grand Prix of Baltimore tweets, the girl who was running the GP of Baltimore Twitter account, as well as the woman who picked us and was sort of guiding us and leading us along the way. I know they were very careful about monitoring our tweets. And a lot of it was just to, you know, see what we were tweeting, but they did a lot of retweeting of our tweets as well, which was nice. you know, but you sort of, it's not so easy. It sounds like it's easy just to sort of get a bunch of people and have them all be sharing your content. But I think that there's a level of work and control that you have to take, whether it's yourself and you're a one-man person and everybody's promoting for you. You have to take that responsibility, or if you get somebody to help you with it and really assign them that role, I think is really important.
Do you think, or did you see after the Baltimore event, was there particular news and journalists that may have picked up some of what was going on due to the activity from the street team?
We don't know that yet. Tanya, who again was sort of our organizer, she says in the next week they're working on gathering all of that type of data and everything. So I don't know the final results from that detail. I know personally I had my tweets retweeted by some local media people. I don't know that it was necessarily because I was part of the street team or whether I was just using the hashtag that everybody else was using. But like the Baltimore Sun, they picked up the article, the press release about the street team, and they actually created a Twitter list that had all of our Twitter handles on it. So they advertised that sort of for us on behalf of Andretti Sports Marketing, so that their readers could follow us as well. So they really did try to tie it in with the media.
Oh, good. Huh. Because you guys were really sharing a lot of information, and it wasn't all the same thing, because there's so many different personalities on the street team. I saw some duplicates, but a lot of it was different, because, again, like I said, you have different personalities.
Yeah, and I think it was really cool that they, you know, I think, kind of going back to your question before about, you know, the guidelines that we may have had imposed on us, I really appreciated the fact that they said, now, here's a tweet you could use, but we encourage you to put your own spin on it. I thought it was really neat that they did that, because they could have said, we're going to be very particular about this, and this is exactly what we want you to tweet. And that, it sort of makes it feel more like, you know, a little street team army that we're just replicating somebody else's work. You know, this is, we sort of really believe in what we're doing, and we're promoting it because we feel strongly about it, and this is, you know, our take on the information that we're putting out. So I think that's a good lesson for, you know, anybody who might be thinking of putting together a street team like that.
Very good. Tough work. I don't, I think it would be tough work to, one, an event coordinator has a lot to do. And now let's think about, look what's added to coordinate an event. You know, now we've added the social part of it.
When we did the when I did the Seth Godin street team, gosh, what was that, like a year and a half ago? The girl who headed that up for him, her name was Amber. She actually did like a weekly video chat where she couldn't see us, but I think this is probably even before Google Plus really launched, or I'm sure she would have done a Google Plus Hangout, but she did it on Justin TV, I think, and so we could see her. And she would sort of give us an overview of sort of what we were going to be talking about that week, or the new book that was coming out, and take any questions that we might have. So that was kind of cool to have a weekly meeting like that where we could see the organizer and just all get together and share ideas. So that's a good tool to use as well.
Oh, I like that one. Huh. Very good. Well, any more tips that we need to share on street teams and hashtags and anything that you've got going on this week before we move into Geek It Out?
Nope, just my Pinterest for Business presentation that I did today for the Visual Web Seminar. I am, thanks to, oh, you know who I met today in person for the first time was Elsa M. from Yelp that we had on the show.
Did you really?
Yes, she was at the seminar this morning, so I got to meet her in person. And actually on September 17th, I'm speaking, the title of the seminar is something about complain like a boss and how to use social media to sort of get your voice heard. And I'm speaking about Yelp and, you know, people using that to voice their opinions and how businesses can handle that, because she was supposed to speak, and I think Yelp didn't really like that, I don't know, we don't really know for sure why they said that she couldn't anymore. So I said, oh, well, I had her on the show. I have her Q&A that I can bring to go and, you know, share, you know, I'm the second best. You know, I have all of her info. So I'm doing that. So that will be fun.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. So, and what, how about you, Miss Dad? What are you up to?
What am I up to? Well, working on distributing the new book, developing peak performing to franchisees, getting that out to the different franchisors, and I've had a lot of help. And again, that's why I was talking to Bonnie Sharon today, the Gadgetista with the Wireless Zone. It's amazing how, when you start looking at your network, how many people you know, and a lot of those folks I know through social.
Mm-hmm.
Through Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn, and you just got to sit down and look at your network and say, who am I connected to? And, you know, just reach out, and they're always willing to help. So that's pretty fun. And then I'll be in North Carolina next week working with the Anylab Test Now group on their social presence, which will be fun, and get to hang out with some of my best buds from Computer Explorers. It's amazing how many franchisees and connections I have in that area, and maybe some of my FranCamp friends and social friends. I'm hoping to go see the offices of the Social IQ office. Crush IQ headquarters.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Hopefully to meet Tim Moore in person, so we shall see. Yeah.
Well, sometimes you have a lot coming up. You know what I decided that people's pictures on social media should be much larger. Like, there should be one area on, like, each account where it's sort of like a picture of you that takes up the whole screen. And as much as I don't like my picture being taken, and I don't really like it being seen, even though my little face is everywhere, my big face and a little size, I played on a kickball team, and I went to the end-of-the-year kickball party. And this was the second time that the people on the team had this party, and their next-door neighbors came down. So we were there for a couple of hours. The next day, I get a LinkedIn message from this guy who I talk to on Google Plus all the time. Sometimes we used to talk on Twitter. Sometimes we talk on LinkedIn. We're on a couple of LinkedIn groups together. And I know he's local to me. And he goes, were you at Matt and Becky's by any chance yesterday? And I said, why, yes, I was. And then I looked at his teeny tiny little LinkedIn picture. I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is the second time I've been in the same room with you at the same gathering, like 2 weeks in a row, and we talk all the time online and have, you know, I just didn't put two together because the pictures are so small.
That's funny. Yeah, I don't think unless you're going to build that platform, I don't see it coming out anytime too soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe I just need to, like, wear my, like, Twitter name on me at all times or something.
You could do that. Wait,
I'm just
going to
create it. Yeah.
I do have, you know, I still have my shirt that says follow me at DebCE.
I have my shirt too, my Follow Friday shirt from the first training camp.
Yeah, very good. Well, I think we need to move to Geek It Out so we don't run out of time tonight. Are you ready?
I have some good ones. I'm ready. Do it.
All right. Got to have the song. Okay. So, I'm ready.
I feel like I just talked about Elsa, and then she sent me a tweet that said she likes the presentation today. I'm like, uh-oh, did you hear me talking about you? I didn't hear anything bad, did I? Anyway, all right, I have some good ones. The first one, it came out in a couple of articles this week. You may have heard about it. And we've talked about this like before. Actually, I remember, for some weird reason, that Skylar Fox was the one who told us about this type during the Geek It Out segment when we had him on the show, was the Wolfram Alpha search engine. But if you go to wolframalpha.com, and I'll put it in the chat here, and in the search box, if you type in my Facebook and you hit search or you hit enter, it brings up a little box and it says analyze my Facebook data. And it has you authenticate through Facebook, and the results are amazing. If you have your birth date in Facebook, the first thing that pops up is how old you are down to years, months, and days. And then it tells you when your next birthday is and months and days, and it tells you information about where you live if you have your city listed. But then it breaks down and analyzes all of your posts. I mean, it looks at your posts that were most popular and, I mean, like a gazillion statistics about your personal Facebook profile and your statuses. So it doesn't do it for pages, but it's really neat, especially if you're a data junkie. So it's cool.
Yeah, and I don't know that I've seen this, but it's on my computer that I have visited before, so I'll have to go back and look at that. Do you think Clout uses this?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm still my love-hate relationship with Clout.
Oh, you know, you mentioned Clout earlier, and I told myself, don't bring it up, don't bring it up, don't. Because the score goes up and down, and I can't figure it out.
No.
I get all excited, and then it drops 2 points. It's like, okay,
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, I feel like I have a really good week. I'm like, people are retweeting me. I mean, the GPOB. I'm like, come on. People are retweeting me. I was retweeting people. I was posting pictures. People are liking this. And my score held steady. I was like, for crying out loud, what do you have to do?
And do you get I'm not happy with the little email messages that I'll get, oh, no, your class score drops. Like, thanks.
Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't get it. Anyhow,
okay.
We digress. Okay, so the next one is, let's see here. Oh, love this one because I have had this problem for a really long time and I never thought there was a way, and this sort of goes into our topic for promoting events. Anywho, it's connecttweet.com. connecttweet.com. And I have not gotten to test this out yet, I will admit to you. So if it doesn't work, please do not hold me accountable. I'm just suggesting that you try it. But the premise is you pick one Twitter account. So let's say when I spoke at Maryland Association of Nonprofits, they have a Twitter account. And they gave all of their employees that were going to be at the conference the username and password to that one Twitter account so that no matter what session that they were sitting in, they could be tweeting from it. So all the tweets were going out. They also use a hashtag. The premise of this site is you can connect one central account. So in this case, they would have connected the Maryland Association of CPAs or whatever the thing was. They would have done their Twitter account. And then you can hook up everybody else's personal Twitter account who's going to be tweeting. So you would hook up yours, I would hook up mine, so on and so forth. And then we tell it what hashtag it's going to use. So then every time you and I tweeted with that hashtag, that tweet would also post to the main central Twitter account. So you don't have to all be logged into the main account. You could all tweet still from your personal account, but then have that running feed with that hashtag through the central account.
Oh, my God.
Pretty cool, right?
Pretty confusing, but yes, pretty cool.
Yeah, so it's basically a way to all be tweeting from the same account using the hashtag without logging into that account.
How can we test that?
Well, I tried to set it up. I made my account the central account, and I put in the hashtag Social Geek Radio, and then I authorized your account. But I don't know if maybe it sends you an email notification or something, because so far I haven't, if you've tweeted with the hashtag, it has not come up on my account yet. But I just hooked it up like 5 minutes before the show, so I don't know.
Oh, I've tweeted like crazy with the hashtag, so.
Yeah. Maybe it's something you have to authorize. I don't know.
Oh, well, we'll have to check it out.
Yeah, I probably can't just pull tweets from you without your approval. So, yeah, maybe if you didn't get an email, maybe it went to spam or something. Okay, so that's that one. The next one is fun. It's called usetrackthis.com, usetrackthis.com. Put it here, hand it in the chat room. And this is so you can track packages. So this might come in very handy as we approach the holiday gift purchasing season. You can put in the tracking code. You can give it a package nickname. And you can pick from, as you'll see, it looks like about 15 or so carriers. And then you can decide whether you want to get an email, a text message, a Twitter message, hooked up into your RSS. So you can make sure that you're getting and being able to track these packages.
That's funny.
Yeah.
So that, yes. So, yeah, track packages on your iPhone with Track This. Huh.
Pretty cool.
That is very cool.
All right. The next one is socialpicsbook.com. SocialPicsBook.com. And this one you can hook up your personal Facebook to. You can tell it from which date you want to start until when. I hooked mine up for all time since the beginning of me being on Twitter until this month. And it creates for you what it's calling is this leather-bound book. And for the first time that you do it, it takes a while to load. But it's really a neat collage-type book that it creates for you. And you can flip through the pages. You can name your book. You can select your cover for your book. All sorts of cool stuff. But once you have really finished customizing your book, you can actually order a copy of your book.
This is so cool. You knew I'd like this.
I know.
Oh, my goodness. They'll go crazy with all my pictures.
And the pages that it creates for you are really cool. Like, not all pages are the same. Sometimes they put them in a grid. Sometimes they put quotes with them that you put in your status updates. So just kind of as a fun way to even look back at your own personal Facebook activity from the beginning of being on Facebook, it's a really neat way to do that.
And it's done by Snapfish. Very good. Very good way of... Because Snapfish is great, and I've used them before.
Yeah.
So now they've gone social. How cool is that? Oh, look, and they've Pinterest. Look at that. I can pin it right there.
That's right.
Go on the right to Social Geek Radio page.
All right. The next one is factbrowser.com.
I don't have any more room. I have all these windows open.
Oh, I know. I had like a bazillion before the show, and I was afraid my browser was going to crash.
I'm worried.
Factbrowser.com. It calls itself the Research Discovery Engine. And I've been using it for my presentations, when I'm doing PowerPoint presentations and giving, doing speaking on a certain topic. For my Pinterest topic today, I simply went to the search and I typed in Pinterest, and it gives you one-line statistics, and it gives you the date that it was added and the resource or where it came from or the source, and then the date that it was originally published. So it's a really great way to go through and pull facts and statistics to put into your blog posts or to put into your presentations. And as you can see, there are so many topics and categories and all sorts of ways you can search for information on here.
Oh, well, I know we have some moms that are listening with students, kids in school. This is really cool.
Yeah.
Very good.
So, obviously, I spent a lot of time playing in the technology section, but yeah.
Bookmark that. Okay.
Yep.
We're good. And we probably have time. Do you have one more? We probably only have time for one more.
I have one more goofy one. Which is actually still in beta. Oh. It's called sleepcake.com, and it's an app. And I don't even know if it's going to roll out for iPhone or Android. Right now, all you can do is put your email address in. And apparently, once you set your alarm and everybody else signs up for this app, when you all wake up at the same time, then you can go on your phone and say good morning and chat with one another. I don't know if it's cool or creepy. I haven't really decided.
What's it called again? Sleep what?
Sleepcake.com.
A sleep cake.
So cool or creepy, you decide. Let us know on our Facebook page, Social Geek Radio.
You know what? There you go. Why don't let's see. We need to put that on the Facebook page and then offer a prize for somebody that I don't know.
Yeah.
Comments. That's very interesting. Okay. very good. Well, the operator is very kind, but she's telling us we need to close the show. And we need to thank our listeners, and lots of fun in the chat. I wasn't paying too much attention, but I see we have some new friends.
Yep.
There
people
are more.
Making friends, right, in our chat room. How cool is that?
So, AK, have a good week. Have fun with football tomorrow night, and I will talk to you tomorrow, but then see you again on Social Geek Radio again next week.
That's right. All right. See ya. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.